blessing of being in a position right now in my life where I know I am doing exactly what God has called me to do at this moment. I chose John 15 for the scripture because it speaks of how we cannot bear fruit unless we remain on the vine. The world is changing, and I believe that as Christians, we are called to be a part of the transition team. God gives us the freedom of choice. We can sit back, worry, and complain about the state of the world, or we can go out and bear fruit. I want to share a little story, a little history of someone that I have never met, but I was able to travel to Ireland in 2006 and spend a week of retreat in a home that she built in 1832. Her name was Catherine McCauley, and she was born into a wealthy family. She watched her father, who was such a good man, show comfort to the servants from neighboring homes where they weren't treated kindly. He gave them food and supplied needs that they had. Her father died when she was 5, and her mother didn't know how to take care of a household, and soon the money was gone. Catherine cared for her mother and her siblings, living in a shack until her mother's death. Catherine and her siblings were separated and sent to different relatives to live. Catherine lived with an uncle who would not acknowledge her Catholic faith and treated her poorly. He wouldn't let her read the Bible or pray openly. She would be in her room, and she used the window panes, the outline of the window panes became her cross, and she prayed every day. And she never lost sight of the kindness that she had watched her father show others, even though she was not shown that kindness. This was during the time of the Great Potato Famine, and many people were dying each day. A wealthy couple, the Callahans, knew of Catherine, and they had no children, so they invited Catherine to come and stay with them and care for Mrs. Callahan because she was now bedridden. Catherine ran their household with efficiency and kindness. Even though Catherine had returned to a home of great wealth, she lived simply, giving great care to the couple. She was such a joyful and prayerful presence that both of them turned to God before their death. However, I need to go back a little before I tell you what happened next. After the death of Mrs. Callahan, Mr. Callahan heard his niece, who was their only living relative, talk about how she would inherit such great wealth upon his death. And the first thing she was going to do was throw Catherine out of the house. Well, prior to his death, Mr. Callahan changed his will and left everything to Catherine. Upon his death, Catherine's life changed, and she had choices to make. She now had the opportunity to live the rest of her life being served by others and wanting for nothing. She could live the life everyone felt she deserved because she had been treated so poorly and had spent so much of her life caring for others. So here's my question to each of us. If any of us suddenly received millions and millions of dollars, what would we do? Catherine chose to continue to live in poverty and build a large home in the ghetto. She was the first person, I think, to address human trafficking. She took in young women who were being abused in the homes where they worked and taught them a trade so they could support themselves. She educated females and orphans because the schools would not allow them to attend. The women who came and lived in the home with Catherine spent all day walking through the neighborhood and taking care of the poor and providing needs for the people who desperately needed it. At the same time Catherine was doing this, she also was raising her sister's 5 children because her sister had died. Women were not allowed to visit anyone in the hospital, not even family. Catherine wanted to share her faith with the sick and dying, so she kept the elegant carriage and some of the extravagant dresses she inherited and went to the hospital daily to try to visit the sick. After months of visits, they allowed her to visit after she had gone, so it took her months before they would let her visit. But they recognized her wealth, not her faith. After she was allowed to go in, she sold the carriage and the clothing and continued her visits as a woman of poverty. The hierarchy of the Catholic Church forced her to turn her ministry into a religious order, or they would take it away. They would take over the ministry and the building. All she ever wanted was just to show God's love to those who needed it. So she began a religious order, the Sisters of Mercy, and she went on and served in that community until her death. She showed love to the comfort to the sick and the dying. She enabled others to go out and do the same. When the sick couldn't find treatment, she took them into her home and saw they were treated. She took in orphans, educated them, and gave them hope. Now, my favorite part of Catherine is that at the end of each day, she believed in gathering together, laughing, dancing, and enjoying life. In spite of the sadness they saw each day, there was joy in that home. She believed God wants us to feel great joy in our lives. The mission of Habitat for Humanity is seeking to put God's love into action. Battle Creek Area Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. Many local nonprofits have struggled since the recession 10 years ago, and Habitat struggled even more after our devastating fire in 2012. The focus of many nonprofits became how to survive, and there wasn't enough energy or time to really think about the mission. It was such a difficult time for nonprofits that having enough money to make the payroll felt like you were successful. A couple years ago, we decided not to let the problems of the past be an excuse for not putting God's love into action, but to use those struggles to transform ourselves and our habitat into what God is calling us to be. I am so proud to share that within a 12-month period of time, four families will experience the life-giving joy of owning a sustainable and affordable home. A few residents will be able to remain in their homes due to the two critical home repairs that we will provide. And over 25 individuals will have mobility and will be able to leave their homes and participate in activities we take for granted due to the construction of a wheelchair ramp at their home. The lives of over 30 families will be transformed because we have decided to put God's love into action. Many people are mistaken by thinking to be holy, we must withdraw from ordinary affairs and spend much of our time in prayer and never enjoy ourselves. That is not the case. We are called to be holy by living our lives with love and by bearing witness in everything we do, wherever we find ourselves. Are you married? Now, don't tell my husband I said this. Are you married? Be holy by loving and caring for your husband or wife as Christ does. Do you work for a living? Be holy by laboring with integrity and skill in the service of your brothers and sisters. Are you a parent, grandparent, aunt, or uncle? Be holy by patiently teaching the little ones how to follow Jesus. Are you in a position of authority? Be holy by working for the common good and renouncing personal gain. Let the grace of your baptism in Christian faith bear fruit in a path of holiness. Let everything be open to God, turn to Him in every situation. It says in the Bible, but I'm sorry, I can't tell you where, do not be dismayed, for the power of Jesus enables you to do this, and holiness in the end is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is the moment where I tell you about Habitat and the ways that you can support us. I'm going to keep it short because I truly believe everyone has to find their own passion and their own mission. You can support us financially. Each home that we do, and we do rehabs of existing homes in Calhoun County, we take a home right down to the studs and it has new wiring, new plumbing, everything is new. It's just like a new home with old bones. That costs us about $55,000 a home to do that. And if there's a lot of lead and asbestos, where one home that we just started, we paid $24,000 to have the lead and asbestos removed from that home on top. So doing homes can be expensive. Another way you can help us is to volunteer. And we have found that one of our biggest needs for volunteers is at the Restore. The Restore is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to do more in the community because it can cover all of our overhead. We're not there yet, but we have moved forward enough in the Restore that it covers about 73% of our overhead. That means our donations can go toward our mission. They need people to help clean the items that come in and get them on the sales floor. We need people to promote donating used household goods to the Restore. We're finding people don't donate as much as they used to because you can sell it on Craigslist and have someone come pick it up. And so we really all Restores, 10% of the Restores in Michigan closed last year because donations are down. And I want you to know we're doing very well, but we always need more. And the one thing that I ask each and every one of you to do is to pray for us and our mission. What I believe God really wanted me to share with you today is that we can all be a part of the transition team and change this world. We all have the freedom of choice and can decide what our passion is and how we can make a difference. There are so many needs in our community. Which one is God calling you to transform? We don't have to build a home and start a ministry like Catherine did. We don't have to live in poverty. What I feel we do need to do is live as the scripture read earlier in the service says, if you remain in me and my words, remain in you and whatever you want, and it will be done for you. For this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Thank you and God bless.